Hey guys, welcome to the Evan and Caitlin podcast, the podcast now five times improved by new technology, such as a new desk, a new camera. Anyone that's listening can't really hear this right now, but look at this desk.
They can't hear it.
see it.
Evan just zoomed out remotely.
With a remote! I mean,
oh
that,
my gosh, can we turn down your volume? Yeah. You're so loud.
Sorry. Everything is new. Everything is like...
We just took apart... So today we released our new podcast desk video, which is what Evan is showing off with his fancy camcorder Zoom. And we had to take apart everything and put it back together. Oh, please don't zoom in on our faces. Oh, gosh.
Isn't this what you want, guys? Can you just like, can we just leave it right here? Just like, wait. Let's go all the way in. Let's
go. It goes farther.
Let's go all the way in. I'm sorry for anyone who's just listening to this.
I'm sorry for anyone who's watching it.
It's just my eyes. It's just one eye now.
Okay, that's pretty impressive.
It's pretty impressive. This is an upgrade so much because, I mean, we got our very first camcorder just to like experiment, like, hey, let's experiment with a video aspect to this. Let's stream with it. Let's do all of that.
Well, and the reason we do a camcorder instead of just a normal camera is because you can plug it into power and it won't die. It'll just record indefinitely.
Yeah, and it has a nice full-size HDMI out. It's really exciting.
Yeah.
Speaking of updates and news things and et cetera, et cetera.
Already talked about some of the main things.
I know. I should actually probably start with the outline first. So in this podcast, we're going to kind of do like a little news update. Something will be added in post right there that'll be just right. So we're going to go through some updates, and then we have a sit-down chat with Bob from I Like to Make Stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to go to Thing of the Week. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to fit all of that plus a game into this one, but the games aren't going away.
Yeah, it'll be in total about half an hour of us chatting and about half an hour of interview.
Okay, speaking of updates, we already covered the wonderful upgrade that is our new video camera, and eventually it's just going to keep on getting better. I really like just upgrading our life, upgrading our content, upgrading all of that stuff.
I will admit, though, I struggled with the new camera because the new camcorder is...
It's expensive.
It's twice as much as our regular video camera. And so
but when the features.
Well, yeah, the features. But I mean, there's features for everything. But it was kind of a struggle because it was like, you know, the podcast and streaming, which is what we're using the camcorder for. Ooh, we should talk about the garage streaming in a bit, too. That's another update.
Yeah, that's one of the big things.
Write that down. where was I going? Oh, yeah, like those are still kind of newer things, the podcast and streaming, whereas like...
Yeah, we're not really making much money on this.
No,
we're not. I mean, you know, we made $20.
We just got approved for AdSense.
Yeah, we're up to like probably $30 now. Thank you.
but it did feel kind of weird spending twice as much on this camera than we spent on our main video camera. But I guess it's like
an investment in the long term.
No, I do agree with that. And I guess also, like, things just jump up in price pretty quickly to make it worth getting a new thing. Like, if we had a $200 camcorder and as our original, and if we wanted to get like the next more expensive version, there just wouldn't be that many improvements. It wouldn't be worth switching.
Yeah, it wouldn't, like, the first improvement, so there's a $200, then it goes to $800 for, like, mid-level. But then when you're at the mid-level, you kind of wanted to just go up one more feature, one more quality upgrade.
That's scope creep.
Scope creep. But it's like, I also don't want to get, like, a medium-level camera, and then we have to upgrade again. That almost seems more wasteful. And
yeah, but isn't that what we did for our main camera?
But now when we're doing live streaming from the garage, we're going to have two cameras, like our main camera and then like the secondary camera for the other perspective.
We probably will use this for filming for really long scenes because like, oh man, behind the scenes stuff for this podcast desk video, we didn't record like the entire second pour.
It was bad. Well, like we
got footage of it because we were streaming and we had bad, super crappy camcorder quality footage of that.
Well, we started recording and then the camera just died, yeah, and we were so frantic with the everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw a little bit of the panic if you watched our live streaming desk build.
They saw like the normal build, not just the live stream.
Yeah. Well, I was saying like live streaming desk. This is
I think of it as the podcast desk.
I misspoke. Yeah. Yeah, but this desk is really great. It's really going to upgrade our streaming, and that's a decent chunk of our content that we're going to make moving forward. Not that we're reducing anything else, but if we're making one YouTube video per week
and one podcast per week
and maybe at least one or two live streams a week, amount of minutes coming from this camera is greater than the amount of minutes on YouTube.
Weird.
It's weird to think about, but also it's like this content takes so much less time to craft.
Well, I mean, editing a like full project video is a lot,
but it's not just editing. I mean, every week we're producing like a piece of art or functional furniture or renovating a door or a house or a room. It's like the scope of that, like what we're accomplishing is so much greater.
That's true. It's hard to do in a week sometimes.
It is very hard to do in a week sometimes.
We've been thinking about like trying to, we always say we shouldn't over our schedule ourselves, but we're actually like talking about ways to put that into motion moving forward.
And we cover some of that in our talk with Bob.
But
I think another thing that I wanted to cover somewhere, because we don't really have a place to cover this, but it seems relevant because it's very present in our minds. So we just wanted to share it with you guys. And this seemed like the best place, not belaboring my transition there. But we wanted to talk about copyright strikes for a little bit.
The copy strikes on YouTube.
My gosh.
So we
thought that we were somewhat safe because we were smaller.
So if you guys haven't heard about it, there's been a lot of drama about it. If you watch any of the like YouTube news going on, but it's basically the YouTube copyright system. Someone can put a copyright claim on your video, basically claiming that they own the rights to the music in your video or some piece of content in your video, and then them having the claim on it means that they get any money from the monetization of it.
Or they can pause monetization or add more. I mean, it's crazy.
They have control over the monetization of it, basically. And if your video gets a copy strike on it, you can write back to like appeal it.
But it's almost on the person who claims
it. It is.
So it's like if we wanted to claim someone else's video, let's say that half of someone else's video was our video with them like voicing over it, and it wasn't used in a fair use way or anything like that, whatever, we could say, hey, you used our video and you owe us money for it, and then if they said no, we're using it fairly, we can just say nope, aren't.
But the same thing is if their video has nothing to do with us, we could put a claim on it.
We could claim it. We can claim any video,
and they could say no, that your video is not in this at all, and we'd be like, too bad. We say it is.
And the only way to get that removed is to take us to court, because YouTube doesn't want to step in and be the arbiter of these decisions. It wants,
which makes sense. I mean,
it does make sense.
It is like a legal thing, but the issue is there's no punishment currently, and apparently there's talks of like a punishment being put in place, but currently there's no punishment to people making false claims here and there and everywhere. So people are just doing it like crazy. So that's kind of like the background of copy strikes.
Yeah. So we have gotten a few copyright strikes in the past for music that we have used that we had the license to, and we're like, hey, we have this license, here's our proof, and no big deal, it eventually goes away. Not that fast at times, but it eventually goes away. But we kind of got our first like erroneous copyright strike, and it was such a crazy story to me that we just had to share it. But we also had to give you the background. So this copyright claim, there's a musician that we really like.
Yeah, DJ Quads, who we use a lot of his music in our videos. Like if you hear any of the music that kind of sounds like old school big band, but then like hip hop beats thrown into it also, that's DJ Quads.
And a lot of YouTubers use this music. I know like Wabi Sabi, pretty popular. Yeah.
They use them. He puts his music out there like for people on YouTube.
Which is so cool. It's so cool. Yes. We're so thankful for him, and we've even supported some content creators like this via Patreon in the past when they're putting out music.
Yeah, I think he didn't have one because we looked. At the time, he didn't have one.
But so, anyways, there's this channel that basically took that song and sung poorly over it.
Like, yeah, just took pretty his bad. Song, didn't remix it, didn't do anything, and just sang literally over a DJ Quad song. And then they put a copyright claim on our video that included the DJ Quad song.
Yeah, yeah. And it was slightly more convoluted than that. They must have sub-licensed out their songs to another bigger channel to patrol and do copyrights and everything, which is also weird.
That, like, yeah. It was a... There's a channel that had like 200 something thousand subscribers. They had music videos and stuff, and they're the ones that put the strike on us
for someone else's video that wasn't on their channel. So it's like we got copy struck for using a song that we had permission to use by a company who got permission to copyright strike other people from another channel who stole the original artist's song and put their bad singing over it. It's like
so convoluted.
It's so convoluted, and it was so infuriating to us.
It was so
we were like, what do we do?
We were on our Patreon call last night?
Yeah.
No, two nights ago when we like the email popped up and we were just like instant vent fest with the Patreon. Like, what's happening?
Yeah, it's a crazy, crazy world out there.
Yeah. I mean, so luckily, like, we responded saying, you know, we know who the original artist is. Like, here's a link to their work. Here's a link to where they say they put out their music for free to people to use. The person claiming this does not own the song. Like, we will reach out to the original artist if needed.
But we're very diligent about this. I'm sure that if these people are spamming these, like, copyright strikes to all sorts of people, which it seems like they are, then some people won't notice it, the email. Some people may not find it. Some people, I need to turn that down.
Twitch follower.
Thank you.
Some people may not catch it, or I don't know. Yeah, I can definitely see people getting away with it, because otherwise, why would they do it? Mm-hmm. Luckily, they... we appealed it and they took down the claim.
Otherwise, we were like, do we take to Twitter? Do we sue them?
Yeah, it's
like we were ready. We were ready to fight this.
Yeah, because like the main way we've seen people fight it is like they go to Twitter and they tweet about it until YouTube sees it. But that's like...
I think some people have sued.
I think some people maybe have sued, but that's...
That's a lot of money. That's costly.
You know? That's like more money. That's potentially more money than, we'd be losing to the...
Certainly.
Monetization, certainly. 100%. That they'd be stealing.
100% would lose a lot of money.
But I was really stressed about it because there's just been so many stories where people don't back down even if you provide proof. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's going to happen to us.
And I was ready to like campaign for this and fight this. Like, yeah.
We're getting worked up.
They're not like a big channel. I'm not sure how much they're abusing it. But I was like, no, this is something that's worth fighting. And... I don't know. I was ready. I was fired up.
I was ready.
But thankfully, they backed down.
Yeah, they did back down, which I was very relieved about.
But I mean, one thing we kind of touched on a little bit ago with the streaming, you talked about garage streaming, and that's something that we're also going to be starting soon, which is really exciting.
Yeah, we streamed our resin pour for the Rainbow Dusk.
Yeah, and it was so much fun because talking to you guys live, it's so much easier for me to like, I don't know, react and share things with you guys because Caitlin and I are on the same
chatty.
Yeah, Caitlin and I are on the same page. She knows what's going on. I know what's going on. We've both been involved in this process and this design for days or weeks.
And I think usually because I'm the one keeping you're the one keeping track of like project next step, and I'm the one keeping track of video next step. So usually I'm the one that's like in my head. I'll be like, oh man, we've been in the zone and we haven't been talking to the camera. Like, we should say something to the camera. And like sometimes I have to kind of prompt you.
Yeah.
So that's not just me talking, but I feel like since we were streaming it, you were very chatty. Although sometimes too chatty.
Yeah, sometimes too chatty. And also I'll chat directly to the chat that's on my phone.
There's a bunch of footage of Evan just like staring at his phone, like answering questions. But, in just like broken sentences, because it's like, it'll just be like the answer, not reading the question, then seeing the answer. So it's just random. You know,
we're learning. We're learning. I mean,
there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying there's some footage I couldn't use. Not that we didn't have tons of footage. It didn't really like
Yeah, but we're excited to do stuff like that in the future when we're doing more resin pours or when we're doing work that's conducive to it, like leather working or...
As in quiet work.
Quiet work. Just like, not power tools. Yeah, just not power tools, not like... Basically not woodworking, because all of the woodworking we do is power tools, unless we somehow miraculously learned how to use hand tools and have the patience to do that, which is like not likely...
I mean, we struggled to get this video out in a week. I think if we were putting something together with hand tools, it'd be like one a month.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's not what we want to do.
Yeah.
But I think that we should introduce Bob before we go into the interview with
Bob. We should. Bob. Okay, so most of you guys, a lot of you guys probably know who Bob is if you're involved in the...
There's only one Bob, by the way.
There's only one Bob. He doesn't need a last name. But if you are involved in the maker community on YouTube, you know who he is. Bob, I like to make stuff. Awesome channel.
Awesome
one of
channel.
Our first inspirations. We talked about him, I believe, in episode one when we were talking about our inspirations for this channel, because he just does so many different things. Like, he doesn't limit the type of project he tackles, which was, like, I've said the word inspiration like three times already in the past 2 seconds, but it was a big inspiration for us to be afraid to vary what we did.
I'm not sure if he knows us so much, but he was almost kind of like a mentor to us too. He like gave us our very first shout out.
He was our first shout out.
Our very first shout out.
Like it was, I don't remember which video we had just recently put out, but I remember we woke up and we had like way more comments than normal,
and we were like,
way more subscribers, and we're like, what's happening? And we were still really little.
Did someone mention the Making It podcast?
There are people saying, yeah, Bob sent me. Like, heard about you guys on Making It, and we hadn't listened to the most recent episode yet, so we like went to go listen to it, and we were really excited, so we recorded ourselves listening to it.
Not creepy.
No.
Well, I'm not sure if we've told him that story.
We did. We posted it and tagged him.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess we did. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I know, but it was kind of like, oh man, we were kind of creepy. But yeah, it was really exciting. It was like our first boost. I remember when he mentioned us in the podcast, we were at like 300 something subscribers.
Yeah, and he's like, I don't even know how I found them, but I found this channel.
Yeah, but
it was great.
It was kind of crazy. It was the first time that like it was just like our first big sharing of our channel.
It was very validating to know that we were somewhat on the right path and that.
Yeah.
Things were going okay and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's very much like you kind of feel like you're creating in a vacuum a little bit when you first start putting out videos, because there's just not very many people watching them. You know, you have to really fight for those views in the beginning.
Gotta fight.
For your right. To
for
get
views.
I like my version. Watch out, we're going to get copy struck.
Yeah, I know. Singing so accurate.
So, yeah, so good.
And then we met him for the first time at Bay Area Maker Faire?
New York Maker
Faire. New York Maker Faire. Okay, cool.
Yeah, because it was at the Matter Hackers like 3D printing thing beforehand.
Oh, yeah. So,
like the pre-party thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was our first time hanging out. And we've been to like, I'm pretty sure every event we've been to, he's been to. And every event he's been to, we've been to. Yeah. It feels like that. So we always get to hang out together at the... various events, which is really cool. And we actually got to do a collaboration, which was awesome.
So fun. Yeah. So we'll have both of our collaboration videos linked below if you haven't seen those. But also, we kind of said you should know who Bob is, but we didn't tell you what type of videos he makes. He makes videos around a lot of the things that we tackle. He kind of moves from video to video topic, from 3D printing to woodworking to metalworking to Arduino to...
he does some like cool like props and stuff. Like he's working on an R2-D2.
Yeah, I want to see his R2-D2 video. I wonder how much he's going to get into it. It's a long-term project.
Yeah.
It's long-term. But anyways, we went into the interview with the objective of talking about the future of like YouTube and educational content and where he plans on going and shifts in YouTube in general, and it ended up basically being a like therapy session. I think that we might title this episode something like Therapy Session with Bob Claggett.
Yeah, Yeah, we definitely kind of went off the rails, but it was really good talk. We did start off talking a little bit about like the future of YouTube and where we see things going. But then we also talked about like some algorithm theories. And Bob challenged us to find our purpose, which we talked about for a little bit.
I'm not sure if we found it yet.
Yeah.
But you can hear our thought process as we try to think it through. I think he meant to be like, all right, guys, think about your purpose. Not like, I think implied was not now, but later in the future. And all of a sudden, Caitlin and I are off on tangents, just thinking about it right there.
Yeah.
All right.
Should we jump into it?
All right, let's jump into it. Pew.
So we can just jump into stuff instead of doing like typical background things.
Because I'm sure you've probably been asked the same background questions a few times, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tell us about how you got started with your channel.
What's your favorite video?
What's your favorite video tool? Of all time? That'd be really hard. Oh, I couldn't do that.
Of mine or of all videos?
What's your favorite YouTube video of all YouTube videos?
I haven't watched that
The milk video by Tavin Dillard.
You showed us that.
That's my favorite video of all time.
So good. I actually have one.
Okay, what's that?
Kittens, inspired by
kittens.
Have you seen that?
I haven't seen that one.
It's like this little, it's an old YouTube video, but it's like this little girl reading a kittens book and she's narrating what all the kittens are saying.
Oh, yeah.
So there's like, she's like, you know, a picture of a big cat and a little cat. And she goes, she points to the little one and she goes, or the big one, she goes, I'm her mom. She wants the little one. No, she's not. It's just like the most hilarious.
But she's so serious about it, too.
She's so serious.
That's great. Well, I think that what we're going to try to do is like tackle different subjects. Not that we need to stick to them in any way.
No, we've meandered in every interview we've done.
Every single interview.
So.
But I think that one thing that's really interesting to us, obviously, doing content creation is the future. It's very unknown. But you've been in this content creation game for one of the longest, a while.
A while.
I'm sure you've seen a lot of the changes as they have been in progress.
And
we're curious to kind of get some of your thoughts on like where you see it going in the future and like in general for like the whole community, and also just curious to get your thoughts for you and your channel. And because you have a strategy, we know. Even if we couldn't tell, just knowing you.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think I don't really know where it's going because I don't think any of us know where it's going because I don't think, like, even the creators or the audience or the brands or anybody involved, nobody really knows where it's going.
Yeah.
Because it's changing all the time based on all those variables, right? So, like, the audience has a huge amount to do with what is created, how it's presented. The creators are the driving creative force behind that, and then the brands inform who has the resource to do what, for the most part.
Yeah.
So you've got all these variables feeding into this thing, so nobody can predict the future from any of those three points of view.
Well, and there's the algorithm affecting things, too.
Multiple algorithms.
If one factor goes rogue, it's going to throw off the whole ecosystem.
Yeah. I mean, like, one shift we've seen a lot is more and more longer-form content on YouTube. I mean, when you were first starting out, there wasn't much long form content.
It was like 5 minute and under videos.
Right?
Like,
yeah, that was like a death sentence. Like, I remember at some point thinking, like, this thing is getting too close to 10 minutes. Like, I got to cut it down.
Wow.
And now people are like, got to get it over 10 minutes so I can get that ad at the end of the video.
And now my videos, if I have a, like, we had a 27 minute video, I think, last time, which is the longest one we've ever done.
Is that
one of the bathroom ones?
Yeah, it's one of the best performing videos in recent history.
Man.
And that's bizarre to me. I still don't understand that, but it's good to know that that's not something you have to worry about so much. I don't know that you should try to make them longer.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not a, we got to get it under this time.
Well, I mean, I think it's part audience and part, you know, the algorithm. That's our personal guess because more and more people, I mean, just looking at us as examples, we watch YouTube videos with our meals now, you know, or as our breaks. We sit down and that's our thing instead of TV.
Right.
You know, and more people we talk to, that's what people are doing. Like, you know, we talk to our younger cousins and they don't watch TV at all. All they watch are YouTube for their TV show replacements.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's a big shift.
If you're doing that, then it's a lot better if a video's like 15 minutes, 20 minutes, because then you can actually sit down and watch something. You don't have to find something else.
Yeah. And also with YouTube somewhat prioritizing watch time, if they watch two 10 minute or two 2-minute videos or one 27-minute video, YouTube kind of likes that 27-minute right. video a little bit more, perhaps.
Yeah.
It's not like we can see within their black box in any way.
Yeah.
But there's guesses.
Well, yeah. I mean, their algorithm is a black box of black boxes.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be really clear about that, that it, even they don't know what it's doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they I think that they are putting in the inputs that they want to prioritize for, and they let it run and do its thing and yeah. see what optimizes those outcomes the most.
Kind of. I've actually had some conversation with specific engineers on the in the algorithm space. Yeah. It's not like a team. It's not a set yeah. of people.
Yeah.
It's a huge ordeal that nobody touches all of it.
Yeah.
It's multiple people.
It's probably on purpose. So no yeah. one has the answer.
Exactly. That, yeah. that is absolutely part of it. But they don't necessarily really feed it like this factor is important. Man, we're like deep in the weeds here.
Yeah. No, we love it.
This is not, this factor, you know, X is not actually important. They don't say that.
Yeah,
they say, like, how can we provide the most applicable content for user A? That's what we care about. And then what does it take to get them stuff that they're going to want to watch repeatedly? And so it's the system figures out how to provide stuff to people. And so it's not like length doesn't have anything to do with it. It's if Evan likes long videos, then we try to get him long videos. If Caitlin likes short videos, it tries to get you short videos. So it's not
interesting.
It's not as like straightforward as you think. It's really based on the user's watch habits. I'm saying this like I know. I've only this is all secondhand, third-hand, whatever.
So maybe it is more about like the audience is changing and more people are using
my theory. Yeah. My
Evan,
theory.
You are the algorithm.
I have a theory. It's a really catchy name. It's called You Are the Algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
Because the audience is the algorithm, because the algorithm
is
like completely per the person.
Yeah, that's right on.
Yeah. And also, and this is my guess too, but my guess is that viewers, as they interact with videos, they're ranking it for people like them.
Yeah,
so,
pretty much. Yeah.
Like Google has a profile for each person. If I react one way to a video, if I react very positively, they might recommend that to another person like me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
and I think back to like your original question of, you know, where's this going?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think anybody knows, but I do think that one of the best ways to manage that is to that unknown is to be flexible.
Yeah.
Like, that's something we always try to do is not to be super rigid in how things are done or how long things are or that any of that.
Yeah.
I've got a core set of values, the thing I want to hit. And the execution needs to be fluid. And it needs to be able to change with whatever is currently expected or asked by sponsors or by audience or whatever.
You gotta
let that stuff move around a little bit.
So you had your, it seems like you had your core set of values from pretty early on in your channel. I feel like we've kind of been figuring it out. Like we never, it's not something we kind of like formalized in our heads. And we've, I mean, we jump around project types of a lot, of course, as do you, but I feel like we've also jumped around a lot in terms of like
the purpose.
The purpose of our videos, like is it a tutorial or is it just like entertainment or is it somewhere in between? I don't really have a question. It's
so,
just like
interesting. I have a challenge for you then.
Okay.
Because I think that is one of the most important things that you could do. And I say this in a way not to be negative to anybody else. I think one of the biggest problems with channels in our space is that people don't have that thing figured out. And if you don't have that thing figured out, then you have nothing to make your decisions against. You have nothing to vet sponsors against. You have nothing to vet, like, is this video meeting the standard that I want it? And if you have that one sentence or one paragraph or one page description in your head as to this is the standard, decisions for business are so much easier.
Yeah.
Okay,
you
what
filter
about this?
It through that, and, like, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Do you have
I have a rough one. I have a rough one.
Okay, and, I kind of have something
like,
rough
let's,
in my
let's
head,
not
too.
Hold us to this.
Because it could change again.
Might not want to record it, then.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, let's just, like, record this permanently. Okay, to inspire people... Oh, my God.
See, that's your out. Because you can say, I just went through
it
all.
Oh, it got beeped. Sorry, guys.
To inspire people. There we go. Okay, what about this? To inspire people and show that making is fun... And that they're capable of doing more than they might think. But, like, the main thing that I think we want to show is, you know, It's tough. It's tough because, like, there's like an outward, because, like, the main
is the outward.
There's the outward, and then there's the inward.
And then there's the inward.
Yeah, and the outward is what we have trouble with. The inward, I think we know.
The inward, I think we know, and it's like we basically want, you know, something we can do that is creative. We get to do it together, and we have fun, and get to spend time together.
And it's sustainable.
And something sustainable that, you know, not just something we're going to do for a few years and burn out on. So we're working on that part.
Yeah.
And I think I think we've been shifting.
And I think that we're getting closer and closer to that internal goal.
I think so. I think the hard thing is, like,
so, like, the heck, that might be incompatible with external, because as we've shifted towards the videos that we have a lot more fun with,
which tend to be sometimes views, kind of goofier.
Yeah,
the views. Sometimes they do well, and sometimes they don't do well. It's like a lot less known than when we were doing just more always, you know, strictly project-based, and it was more about the project. That was more consistent.
It's easy to provide value when it's just like, here is this value right here. Here's how to repair drywall.
Right.
That's value. Instant. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I think, you know, coming up with that decision in that whatever that thing is, like, you can look at that from a bunch of different perspectives. So you can get really granular, like, I want to provide informational, like, a list of these are the things you have to do to do X.
Yeah.
Or you can back out a layer and say, like, I want people to know how to do stuff they don't know how to do. Or you can go out even further. I want people to experience something they never experienced. You know, it doesn't have to be super granular.
That's a good one.
Yeah, we just need to be real broad.
But real broad, yeah.
Well, I mean, the broadness has flexibility to it.
Yeah.
But it also becomes a little less useful in the vetting process. So you got to find there's a medium in there, right?
Yeah.
That is a sweet spot that will be good for all of the things you need it to do, I think.
Yeah. I have just words that don't make a sentence in my head.
What are your words?
Okay.
And that's fine. I don't think you have to have a sentence, you know.
Fun?
Is this for the external?
For the external.
Okay.
Fun is a big part of it, I think. And that's what we didn't know at first. When we were first starting this,
we knew we wanted to have fun, but we didn't know that, like, communicating that fun was a big part of the videos.
And I think more and more as we've made our videos, we've found that to be part of our identity. And I think that's a bigger revelation than we thought. So fun is an important one. Inspirational, I think, would be one that we want, because, like, making is really fun, and I think that's a unique perspective that we can bring and show people the fun, but also show people the fails, like, bring in reality too.
Well, so that it can be fun even if you're failing.
Okay, so fun, inspirational, and I don't have much after that.
I'd say that's pretty broad. That's
pretty
on the broad
end
of
the broad end of, so we'll need to work on that a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, even that's a start. Like, you know, if you're looking at a sponsor, you can, like, still, those are two filters that you can put a sponsor through.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not the end thing that you end up with all the time, but that's a start on.
Yeah.
That's true. And I think we do kind of do that unconsciously, because sometimes, you know, a sponsor will come to us and they want us to use a specific product in a specific way. And we're like, that sounds like a really boring video. So let's pass.
Right.
And it's because it would be boring. You know, it might be, you know, a very practical video. Or it might be, like, very fun for other people that aren't us. But, like, for us specifically, it would be boring. So we pass.
Yeah.
Right.
One thing that was really interesting to me, and I don't know why, like, maybe this wasn't as big of a mind blown moment because you've been living it, but, like, do you remember the video when you clarified those Bob at I Like to Make Stuff versus Bob and I Like to Make Stuff?
All right, quick aside for those who might not understand the Bob at I Like to Make Stuff versus Bob and I Like to Make Stuff theory.
So at the beginning of every video, Bob says, hey, I'm Bob and I Like to Make Stuff. You're going to make this.
Yeah, I don't even know which one you said.
Do you know what I said? Exactly.
Yeah, don't know.
You can't tell.
All right, let's go back and do it.
I've never clarified it in a video.
No, in the comments. You clarified it in the comments.
Oh,
and
no,
everyone was like, what?
I don't remember what the video was, but I remember that moment. And we were like, what? I forget who of us found it. And we were like, did you know this?
Bob, at I Like to Make Stuff.
There are actually, like, hashtags team at and team and.
What?
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
We need to get on that.
People totally just heard one thing and stuck with it.
It's kind of like Yanny versus Laurel. You're leading the trend.
Yeah.
I've heard that. I don't even know what that is. But yes, that's how old I am. That was a thing I like went over before the very first video. Like, I was like, what's the intro going to be? I want it to be consistent. Whatever I do now, I'm going to do from now on.
Oh, man.
How do I want to set this up?
Wow.
And that was hyper intentional.
Yeah.
And it's worked out to where now it makes sense. It didn't make sense for several years. Now it makes sense.
And that's been a big change. I mean, you guys are up to 4.5
Four and a half. Yeah, Jenny's like part time.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's crazy. It is really, really crazy to me.
Yeah.
But it's fantastic.
And like, I'm not sure like if this is the appropriate place to talk about it, but it seems like you have a vision. Are you going to share that at some point in a more like direct way, or are you just kind of going to let that be revealed on your channel over time?
I'll probably just like let it kind of be revealed.
Yeah.
Because it also is kind of fluid, you know, like I said, I don't know what the future's like. I mean, I have a goal. I have I don't even know the right word for it. I have a skeleton that all this is working around.
Yeah.
And I don't think that has to be revealed to people for them for it to happen. So I would rather kind of keep that close to my chest. Like I've always said, one of the things I like about the way I do things is that people don't know what to expect week to week to week, right? That's intentional. Yeah. That's like you... Their expectation is that they don't know what to expect, right? So I would like to keep that going in every way that I can.
But that is a plan forward. I mean, that's a great strategy. I mean,
we've taken a hold of that too. It's nice that people are like, you know, I mean, I think you've mentioned it before too, but when you get the comments of like, I love that, I don't know what this is going to be about and I'm watching it anyway and it's awesome, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that ties into part of our strategy that we're still forming for the external looking goals is like exposing people to things that they may not have thought they might be passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, exposing, you know, metal workers to epoxy, you know, like who knows, those two could completely mix, you know, and that's exciting to us. So, So do you have like, is your statement on your website or something, or is that something that you've shared?
No. It's all internal. We have it written on a whiteboard in the office that we hide.
Oh, nice.
I was going to say, does that accidentally show up?
No, so there's a book. Have you ever read Story Brand?
I've heard of it.
David told us about it.
David, maybe.
One of us talked about it. But I think there's a few books like that I think are really good about helping you realize how important it can be to have a one-liner in your head. It's maybe not transparent to everybody else. It doesn't need to be, but it gives you that kind of heading that you're working on.
Yeah.
And I was listening to that book on a run one time, and I already had this idea in my head, but there was something in that book that gave me the one line to describe it.
Wow.
And I'm not going to tell you what that one line is, but as soon as I came back to the office, I said to Josh, I just said that line, and he was like, oh, got it. I know exactly what you mean. That's our thing.
Yeah. That's so good.
And the fact that he knew exactly what I was talking about without the context of the book and without the all of it, I'm like, all right, that tells me that we're actually on to it.
Yeah.
And so when Anthony came on, I said, all right, here's our guiding principle.
Yeah.
This is the line.
Yeah.
Like, got it.
So, boom. That's really cool. That's powerful.
Yeah, it's cool.
We need to get that on that.
I know.
I think that when we were hanging out with Bill and Britt from Punish Props, they brought up like the mission statement and how that has really helped them find themselves and judge their content and judge their projects.
And they're another, you know, channel who's been doing this for a long time and expanding their team. And
And I think having that vision while they expand is really great. And I think partially for us, part of the problem is when we first got into this, we didn't fully know where we wanted to end up. I think you had a pretty strong vision, but for us, our main goal was just like
to work together and do something fun.
And you know, figuring out this journey from the instructional to the come along with us and like be on this journey with us, that's been a big process. And there have been a lot of revelations along the way where we're like,
I feel like every like few months we're like, oh my gosh, now like, okay, I feel like I understand our channel so much more. And we're like, now this is how we're gonna edit
there are
stuff.
Three main phases.
Yeah, there's been a few. We've talked about them a little bit on the podcast before. Quick aside, just so y'all know, we actually talked about the different phases that we kind of see our channel has gone through in the very first episode of the podcast. So we'll link to that. Okay, back to it.
But it's definitely been a journey. And I think that makes sense. I mean, not having a plan is sometimes a good plan. But like having a guiding principle, you know,
it definitely gives me anxiety. Oh,
it gives Caitlin so much anxiety. Plans. For me, I'm like, let's do that.
I feel like there's so, you know, and like we obviously listen to making it, but I feel like there's so many times where you're like, oh, I got a plan to have time to plan, and I'm like, yes, that's me.
I just point at Caitlin. Like if we're in the car, and like you say things like that, and I just like point at her, and she's like.
It's so true.
Yep.
We've been fully converted to Airtable now. We have everything for the next 6 months in there.
By the way, Airtable is a piece of software that Bob introduced us to, and we use it to organize everything. Our projects, companies we work with, contacts, deliverables, invoices.
If you've hung out with us at an event, Evan has probably pulled out his phone to show you Airtable.
It's really nice. All right. Well, I hope that makes sense now. Back to it.
Excellent.
All done? Good to go?
The planning is
done.
Turns out,
little tip for you. Yeah. You can copy and paste entire lists into Airtable, which I don't know why I never realized that.
Oh, like if you have like a list on your phone, you can copy.
Well, like any list. So I have been putting in days for my schedule like manually, and I was like, man, it's kind of a pain to put these in. And I realized you can go on Google, search for the dates for every Thursday for the rest of the year, and it gives you a list. And you copy and you just paste them in the Airtable and it populates the entire year.
What?
Wow.
Super nerd coming out right there, but it's awesome.
We can plan so much more.
One thing that we're like, when you said that you're going to have to plan breaks, we were like, we have to plan breaks.
Oh, we definitely plan breaks.
We have a planned break coming up, and I'm not sure how much we're going to stick to it.
I just heard on the way down here, I was listening to the podcast about vacations.
Yeah.
So I heard you talking about this. Yeah. And I thought, they're not going to do that vacation unless you plan it right now. Put it on the schedule
from
the end
out.
Of the year. Yeah, I'm with you.
I know.
It's tough. But I think that one of the big shifts for us is this level of, we're not like there. You know, like we have kind of arrived at the point where we're full time and we're not like stressing about money and lining everything up anymore. But at the same time, that's still a tentative thing for us.
Yeah.
It's hard to kind of trust in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, after 5 years, 6 years,
something like that.
Yeah. Like, I feel like, is it more reliable? Like more?
I mean, I don't stress about it surviving anymore.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm just kind of blown away at how much I'm not stressed about surviving. but I do still feel there's always work to be done. No matter how hard I work, there's always the next month. There's always the next thing. And I think that's super unhealthy for all of us.
Yeah.
And I was talking to somebody a little while ago about that, about how, you know, for us, we were talking about coming up after work to the dinner table with our families and how we can't turn our brains off and how hard that is and how bad that is for everybody involved. And the thing that I've found that's made that a little bit easier is getting ahead, which is totally obvious and easier to say than do.
Yeah.
But I've found that by being a little bit ahead, I can walk up the stairs after work and be like, I can leave that downstairs now.
Take a deep breath.
Yeah.
But like, if I'm on the edge of we don't have anything for next week, I can't put it down. I can't let go of that. And so I was telling him that I think one of the best things that we can do is just try to get a lead or let go of the schedule, which is one of those really controversial, like, maybe you should do that, maybe you shouldn't, I don't know.
But I think letting go of the
schedule, your livelihood and your comfort level and your longevity within the career is way more important than any schedule and any of the other stuff, you know?
That's true.
I think letting go of the schedule would be a really nice thing, but the main problem is sponsors. You know, 60% of our income is sponsors, and you kind of have to have a schedule to line them up with, you know? And that's...
That goes back to, I think, having the thing to vet against.
Yeah.
Part of that description can be your internal part, you know, can be about, like, how much time do we want to have to live life outside of this?
Yeah.
And then let's take on the appropriate amount of sponsors to make that happen. That's super hard. That's way easier to say than do.
I think that's where
like
we ended up.
That's one of the big ones that we need to figure out.
I think the biggest conclusion that we've got is the only way we can slow down is by doing, like, sometimes less videos.
Which is hard.
I'm with you.
Even when you do smaller projects, there's still everything that goes along with it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you
still have to edit an entire video.
And to go through all of the everything,
well,
you know.
It's also like going back to what you were saying earlier, like, you know, walking up to dinner and not being able to turn it off. For better or for worse, like, because we're both doing it, we just don't turn off.
Yeah.
There's no incentive to turn off.
Yeah.
You know? And then, like, you know, recently, like, Evan's brother and his family started a YouTube channel. So now, even when we're with family, that used to be when we would turn it off, and now when we're with family and we're like,
strategizing.
Oh, we're like, how's the channel going? Oh, have you tried this?
Yeah.
Oh, you know? And so now we turn it off even less. But
so now we just like pull even more of our family
into it. But it is crazy. So, like, we've gotten to a point where we can consistently keep about a week's lead, and we still are working way too much, but it's crazy the amount of stress reduction, even though we're working the same amount of hours. Like, we're not working any less just because we have the lead. But it's so much more enjoyable. Just
we're just happier.
Yeah.
We're just happier in everything we do.
Yeah. And when, you know, if we go to an event like this or whatever it is and we eat up some of that lead, that's when we notice that our stress levels jump. And it's just so much of it is that, even though it's the same amount of work every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we did all these renovations recently. We did two back to back, and then we did another one that's not out yet that's kind of like a big project.
Mm.
And so just working nonstop for like 3 months, like way more than I normally work. And then when we finished those, the next week, we got 2.5 project videos done in a week.
Woo.
And then, and since then, another week or so, we've had another 1.5 done.
Dang.
And we were sitting around in the office, the three of us, at the end of the day for like an hour just chatting. And I looked at Josh and I was like, I kind of feel bad. Like, we should be doing something right now. And it felt weird to just be okay and to be ahead. And I was like, I don't think that's good. You know what I mean? Like, you should be okay if you actually have time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's that internal, like, stress, pressure, anxiety, something that you have to be working all the time, even if you don't need to work all the time. And I think that's just a thing that we all have that is not good for us.
Well, I think there's always that thing in the back of your head, like, even if you're 5 videos ahead, there's something
you could be
in your brain, that's like, well, what if something happens in the near future and then I eat up my lead and I could have had that 6th video ahead, you know?
But I think another thing that I try to keep in mind is I saw this to-do list organizational chart, this way to make decisions about what to do. And there is important, not important, urgent, and not urgent. And the things that get all of the attention are the important and urgent. And then oftentimes next is the important but not urgent.
No, urgent but not important.
But like what you tend to do is you lean towards the urgent but not important when you should be focusing on the important and not urgent.
Yeah.
And sometimes like you kind of need a little bit of that lead, a little bit of that breathing room to focus on the important but not urgent things, such as deciding the future of your company, brainstorming the projects that will lead to a lot of growth or a lot of personal meaning or whatever it is. And you just don't have that time if you don't stop.
Right.
And that's like the urgent. No, that's the
important but not
important
urgent.
But not urgent. That's getting ignored.
And see, you know? I'm actually in a couple of weeks, I'm planning to take a weekend somewhere. I don't know where, like get a cabin or something by myself with no computer, a notebook and my phone, and like just go. And because I have this huge list of stuff in my head that I don't think about because I don't think I have time to think about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go with intentionally with that weekend to get all that important stuff.
Yeah.
Just focus on that, not be distracted by anything else. And it's weird that I'm both really looking forward to that and also really dreading the fact that I'm going to have to go sit somewhere and actually parse all the stuff that I haven't parsed yet.
Yeah. Hey, you planned your planning.
I did.
You planned your planning.
I'm trying.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. We sometimes do that. We just kind of have to leave the house, get away from our phones, our computers, and we just go for a walk.
Yeah, we do that like throughout the week with walks. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure you do get a small bit of that while running, do you just try to like escape completely?
A lot of times I'll escape. It is kind of a mix. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We just we need to get some working out in there too. That's like that to me is like the level of like when we can put aside time to work out again. That's when we're starting to like turn the curve of like getting on top of this stuff.
That's not going to happen unless you make time for it. You're not going to be like, oh, you know, what should we do with all this free time we have? Oh, we should start working out. No, you got to start working out and then you'll make time for
it. I think that one thing that's interesting, another mind shift that we've gone through recently, is we've realized whenever we say we don't have time, what we're saying is it's not a high enough priority.
Yeah.
I mean, we obviously have time for things if we make time for it.
Yeah.
And what do you make time for? The priorities. And we just got to reshift the priorities, I guess.
Yeah. I've tried, honestly, and this may be just semantics, I've tried for several years now not to say that I'm busy. Because I think that's just like I just don't think that's a good thing to say about yourself.
Yeah.
I've tried to look at it more like I am choosing what I do every moment of every day because I'm an adult. And I'm only choosing the things and I'm filling up with my time with the stuff that I care about and the things that I think matter. And that doesn't mean I'm busy. That doesn't mean people are forcing me to do stuff all the time and I don't have any free time. I've just filled my time up.
Yeah.
Intentionally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people will lean on the fact that they're so busy and they can't take on anymore and they feel like whatever, but I think that's kind of a cop-out way to look at it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, it's all like under control.
You're making those choices. Yep. You're deciding priorities. And
yep.
I think, yeah, we just need to reshift our priorities, because I think, and this is probably something that everyone gets into during like the period of like trying to hustle and grow, is that's like your priority over everything else. But I think you can only do that for a certain period of time.
Yeah.
You know, and
And not burn out.
And not burn out.
I think that's one of it correlates to like the viral video thing. A lot of people will shoot for a viral sensation and then they have this explosion and then that's the thing that they continue to chase.
Mm-hmm.
I personally have never tried to actively do that because it's not sustainable. I wouldn't be able to continue that. And then I'm setting myself up for failure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's the same kind of thing when you like load your time up, you're front loading everything. And then you're not going to have time later on to add more. And it's, you know, it's the same thing, but it's time management instead of viral video.
It's so funny what I just realized. It's like you're in the chair and we're on the couch. It's like therapy.
Therapy sessions of love.
I make no claims to have any idea about what I'm talking about.
Well, hey, we don't want to take up too much of your time. There's a really cool conference going on out there. But thank you so much for being on our podcast and joining us and words.
And words. Words are hard.
Words are hard. I'm done with them. All right. Bye.
Thanks.
All right, and we're back.
Hello.
Time traveling Evan and Caitlin.
Yes.
All right, so my thing of the week is obviously this camcorder.
Don't zoom it again. No.
I love this camcorder, guys. The quality, I'm looking at it right here.
It is really good, I will admit it. And our last one was kind of potato.
It was pretty potato.
Like
it was ugly potato.
Sometimes people would ask, like, you guys seem a little out of focus on the podcast video. And I was like, no.
Nope, that's all the resolution you got.
It's true.
Now we have no more excuses. Also, I wanted to give a shout out to a video that was really instructive to us while we were doing this desk build. It was about doing a river table, but we'll link it in the description. It was just a really well produced, like this had so many tips in it. And I just wanted to give them a shout out.
Well, you got to look up who they are.
Oh, okay. You do your shout out while I look that
up. So my thing of the week is, okay, so some of you guys might know this, but I love Jenna Marbles, and she recently did a video.
I like her too.
So does Evan, but this is my thing of the week. So she recently did a video where she followed like a 5-minute craft tutorial. And I don't know if you guys know who 5-minute crafts is. They're like an infuriatingly huge, like bad life hack channel. So they're just notorious for like posting life hacks that don't work, but they have so many views and so many followers. So they posted this video about a jean chair, like a chair made out of 4 pairs of jeans that were stapled together and somehow come together to make this chair. And so she tried following that tutorial and making it herself, and it's just hilarious.
But what
it's so good.
What I love about it too, not only is it good content, but I just love that she knows why she's making the video. She could have sewed it. She could have used fabric staples.
She could have actually made it,
but that wasn't the point. And I love that from a content creator's point of view. I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's just like, I love that she knows why she's doing it and she's sticking to her guns. She only used a normal office stapler.
I know, because
I don't want to give away the results.
When we were watching, you were like, I bet if she got an industrial stapler, it would work. But it was like, nope, that's not the point.
It's not the point. The point
is doing what they do in the video and showing that it doesn't work.
All right, so I looked it up. The link will be in the description, but it's from a company called Easy Composites Limited.
That's the channel name. But also, I think it is a company.
Yeah, it's the company. And they make a epoxy product, and it's an advertisement for the product. But like the video is just
so well done.
So well done.
Like super, super informative. Like if you want to learn all the details and all the tips about doing any kind of river table type thing, it was super helpful.
Yeah, I'd love to just like, we make crazy videos where we mess around and experiment and learn and grow and everything. And then there's wonderful people like this that make the crystal clear tutorial, just straight up tutorial.
Exactly.
Like it's no nonsense, but no, and no waste of time, but also very clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Alrighty.
Was there anything else we were supposed to do?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Let me pull up. Okay. It says wrap up. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining us on today's podcast. If you haven't given us a review, we'd really appreciate it. It helps us grow. It helps us upgrade the equipment even more. I'm not sure what upgrades are coming up next, but we want to make good content for you guys, and your support really means a lot.
Yep. So thank you guys. Oh, we also appreciate a sub on the channel.
Yes.
That helps us a lot too. But thank you guys for watching/listening as always, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.